Welcome to the Viking Age Podcast, part of the Fansided Podcast Network. Now, please welcome your host, Adam Patrick.
All right, welcome to the Viking Age Podcast, the official podcast for thevikingage.com. I'm your host, Adam Patrick. I'm the editor and lead writer for the Viking Age. Before we get started today, make sure to follow The Viking Age on Twitter and Facebook. The site's username on Twitter is at The Viking Age, and you can also follow the site's Facebook page by heading to facebook.com/TheVikingAge. All right, on today's show, to help recap the Vikings' third loss of the season already in four games, today it was to the Cleveland Browns. We've got Chris Shad on the show. He writes for us here at The Viking Age, as well as several other online publications. So just welcome back to the show, Chris.
Hey, thanks for having me, Adam.
No problem. All right, so as I mentioned, the Vikings lost today to the Cleveland Browns in a week four matchup inside U.S. Bank Stadium. Final score was 14-7. The Vikings scored on their opening drive, and things looked like they were going to be pretty good today. But then that didn't turn out to be how it was. They weren't able to score any other points after that, and it just wasn't what anyone really expected, especially from this offense that I believe gained at least 400 total yards in all of their first three games. The offense just didn't look like itself, and the defense, I mean, I guess they only gave up 14 points, but they couldn't stop the run. They didn't have to worry about Baker Mayfield because he just looked terrible. But were there any like main takeaways that you had before we get into the positives and negatives?
I think the biggest is that the Vikings, I mean, we'll probably go over it, but they couldn't stop the run. No. I mean, Mike Zimmer was talking about it after the game and saying, well, my 27 years of experience and I didn't see anything wrong with the run. And then he griped about the 30-yard run and he go, well, so if it happened, like, that's still your run defense. You just can't go, hey, we gave up a 33-yard run, but the rest of the day was, you still have that on your record. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, the Vikings just feel like everything is fine right now, and we're still a good football team. We can win games, and I think they are. They could easily be 3-1 instead of 1-3, but
they're not. They're 1-3.
But they're not. That's the thing. And they're finding ways to lose games. Like, when you have a good football team, you usually have a great coach that puts you into situations to be a good football team. Yeah. And Mike Zimmer did not do that today. He did not do that in Arizona, and he did not do that in Cincinnati. And they are 1-3 right now.
Yeah, I keep hearing like you said, after each game, Mike Zimmer says it, a bunch of players say it, they're like, This isn't a 1-3 team. This is we can still be a great team. And it's like, that's great that you can be, but right now you're not. You're 1-3. Like, let's like, you know, face the music. You're 1-3 for a reason.
Like, you are indeed. Yeah.
This isn't a fluke. Like, you're 1-3. I think Mike Zimmer's mentor or whatever, Bill Parcells, he says, you know, you are what your record is. So the Vikings are 1-3. They're a 1-3 team. I think Chris Thomason this was trolling by him, but he said today the Vikings have the same record as the New York Jets right now. And he's not lying. They do.
No.
And the Vikings can be like, oh, we're a better team than Jets, but it doesn't matter because you have the same record. So, I keep hearing that after every loss. They're like, oh, this is a great team. You know, this isn't who we are. And it's like, but you are. You're 1-3. Because if you weren't, then you wouldn't be 1-3. So, like, I understand that they think they're a better team, but they're not. So it's like right now, they can be in the later on in the season, but right now they're not. All right. So let's get into some positives and negatives. Since they lost, we'll do the negatives first. You mentioned the run defense. So we don't need to go over that, but they did give up, I believe, like 184 yards on the ground. So Mike Zimmer doesn't find that concerning. Apparently he says that's a little concerning that he's saying that, especially since he's supposed to be a defensive guy, but apparently he doesn't care about 180 yards rushing after you spend what, almost $20 million this year on Dalvin Tomlinson and Michael Pierce, but you know, they're fine. Don't worry about it. Anthony Barr will be back and everything will be be solved. All right, so let's just get into the offensive line, which looked like, I think the past couple of weeks, we've been maybe encouraged by the way that they've played. They've played better than probably a lot of the offensive lines have in the past. But they went against a really good pass rush today in the Browns. The Browns had 9 sacks last week against the Bears. That's probably a little more than they should have had, but they had 9 sacks, so they're a very good pass rush. They got Jadeveon Clowney, they got Myles Garrett, a bunch of other guys, and the Vikings knew this was going to be tough. It didn't really seem like they had any plan to try and stop it, or at least like put it off balance. I think they ran a couple screens, but I felt like last week against the Seahawks, they ran a lot of screens, especially with Alexander Mattison. And this week, it just didn't seem like that was in the cards. I don't know why. And as a result, like all the offensive linemen gave up multiple pressures, including Brian O'Neill. I think Rashad Hill gave up like, I think I saw Arif Hassan said he gave up like more than 6 pressures. So Christian Darrisaw was healthy today. I think it's time to shuffle him in there. They're going against the Lions next week. That should probably be a little easier than going against the Browns. But yeah, the offensive line kind of, not that they were doing amazing, but I feel like they kind of came back to earth today against the Browns pass rush. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think it was back to reality. They did a great job against Arizona, who dominated Tennessee the week before, and I kind of had some false optimism after they shut down Seattle, who doesn't really have an elite pass rusher, but I mean, they have enough. I think that, you know, I think it was a good decision to keep Darrisaw out of the game. He had that rep on the field goal unit where he just stonewalled a guy. So you kind of look at that, go, huh. But like they were saying, he's only got about 4 practices under his belt since he was drafted. But I guess
can he be than Rashad Hill? Like,
right. And here's the thing. They didn't draft him to build him up like a project. Yeah. Like Clint Kubiak said, like he was supposed to be week 1 starting left tackle. And he hasn't been because of the injury. It's not his fault.
Yeah.
It's just how things have worked. So I think next week, maybe you throw him in there unless like he really doesn't look good in practice. And we don't know, to be honest. I mean, even the media is not allowed in practice too much. I think at the absolute latest, it's the Cowboys game. That's the one after the bye, correct? Mm-hmm. On October. Mm-hmm. Yep. I think that is the game you plug him in. And I know DeMarcus Lawrence is on the other side, but it's sink or swim. You drafted him in the first round for a reason. You didn't take Justin Fields because you needed a left tackle, and it's go time. I mean, Rashad Hill, from everything I've heard, he's great with the media, good guy and everything, but he's just not a starting tackle. No. And he's a great depth piece. I like him in that role, but starting him at left tackle, I'm just not a fan.
Yeah, it's just too easy for guys like Myles Garrett and Jadeveon Clowney to go up against someone like that who, you know, yeah, like you said, if he's filling in for a couple series, yeah, that's fine. They're not. It's something different, so it kind of maybe throws them off. But if they can have a whole week to prepare for Rashad Hill, and which probably doesn't take a whole week to prepare for Rashad Hill, then you know it's not going to be hard for them. We keep mentioning that. I feel like, I don't know if you are, but we keep mentioning that Detroit's probably going to be an easier opponent, which they should be. They're 0-4, but also the Vikings are 1-3, so. Is it like,
yeah,
I don't want to like be like, oh, the Vikings, because I don't know. Is this win against the Lions as much as of a guarantee as I think? Like, there's a lot of people out there, Vikings fans are like, oh, they're going to be 2-3 after next week. Like, it's no big deal. I don't think that's as much of a guarantee as some might think it is.
Hey, man, it's not just Lions week. It's Dan Campbell.
Yeah. Man
Campbell. And you know what? I'll say it. I like Dan Campbell. He reminds me of Tice.
And I mean, he's entertaining. Think
of Tice. Yeah. In retrospect, when I look at Mike Tice, was he the best coach? Probably not. No. But I mean, he just was this guy. I mean, it was like Homer Simpson getting promoted to like run the nuclear plants or something like that. Like, that's what Mike Tice is like. And I get the same vibe with Dan Campbell. One of my friends that comes on the Homer Horn podcast, Renee Esparza, mm-hmm. actually, her theory was that Campbell got the job because he was at the bar one night with Lions personnel. And he's like, I bet you can't drink that whole pitcher of beer. And he's like, if I drink that, you got to hire me as the Lions coach. Deal, you're on. And then he slammed and they're like, oh, no. But I mean, like, the Lions are plucky, man. I know they got kind of beat up by Chicago today and Chicago got stonewalled by Cleveland. Mm-hmm. But I mean, if the they Vikings almost beat, aren't
they
almost careful.
Beat, they almost beat the Ravens.
Right.
They would have won a
66-yard field goal. Yeah. Like, if the Vikings show up like they did today and they say, okay, we're down on the scoreboard, but we got to establish the run with a running back whose ankle is probably hanging on by a thread right now. Like, yeah. I'm not counting the Lions as a win either. Like, yeah. if they go, I mean, once they hit the field, probably my concerns will be eased. But I mean, I'm not putting it in pen. I've seen this team find a way to lose games over the first 4 weeks. So, yeah. no.
They have one win. They only have one more concern. They only have one more win than the Lions. It's not like they're like 3-1. They have one more win than the Lions. All right, did you have any like specific negatives from today? Maybe
I think it was the play calling too. I kind of alluded to it a little bit, and you know, like the offense, that first drive was great. Like, it was ultimate Mike Zimmer football, which you could probably find on Sega Genesis this holiday season. But I think, like, they just went down. They were balanced. They killed half the first quarter, and they ended it with a touchdown to Justin Jefferson. I mean, that is Mike Zimmer football to a T. And then Cleveland took the lead, and they were just like, nope, we got to run the ball because that's how I do it. I'm Mike Zimmer. There's only one way to win football games, and I'm just sick of it, man. I know there's a lot of Zimmer, you know, supporters and whatever, and overall, I think he's a decent coach. I'd probably say he's even a good coach, but I don't think he's a good head coach because I think that he puts his team in too many situations and this old school play calling. He did go for it on fourth down, which I was pretty impressed. They didn't get it. But I think, you know, the more I see this, it's just the same thing. It's like, don't you want to be better? Don't you want to, you know, I mean, That's kind of where I'm at with this team right now. It's like, I kind of want something better, and you might get someone worse, but I mean, you got to try, don't you?
Are we starting to think that 2017 is probably just like an anomaly, I guess?
2017 was like, yeah, I mean, you're a wrestling fan. It's like an Ultimate Warrior promo, you know? He stood up there and he's like, when the moon is blood red and the planets of the Grimlap system align, the Ultimate Warrior will prevail. Yeah. Like, that's what the Vikings were. It was Aaron Rodgers got hurt. Everybody else got hurt. The runway was clear to play the Super Bowl in your own stadium. And then Zimmer doesn't get them prepared for an NFC championship game, and they get clown hammered after scoring the opening touchdown. It just, I think that was their shot. And I mean, look at the coach that won that game, Doug Peterson. He won the Super Bowl, and 2 years later, he was canned. And yet we're still sitting here with Zimmer being like, no, he can get the most out. We're just going to sign a bunch of aging one-year free agents. Greatest offseason ever. We're going to get Rashad Breeland and shut everybody down, baby. And it has not worked out that way. So
no, I feel like the best acquisition this year has been the punter.
Jordan Berry's awesome. I don't know why I'm so excited about like his first punt. I'm like, that guy balls. Why am I excited about him? Yeah, he's got a boot. So that's good to see. But
I don't want to see him on the field though.
Yeah. I'd rather see for extra touchdowns points. And yeah, exactly.
But you mentioned play calling, and the Vikings on their second to last drive, where they got the ball with like 3:45 to go, they're down by 7. They start on their own 12-yard line. So you would think, you know, with under 4 minutes to go, it's time to like speed up and hurry to make sure, you know, you don't run out of time, or you don't maybe, you know, give the ball back to Cleveland with too little time, I guess. And the Vikings ran two run plays before the 2 minute warning. They went like two pass, or they went one. Oh, they ran three run plays.
It was four out of five, actually.
You're right.
Out of five going into the 2 minute warning, because they got the 13 yarder with Cook. Then they got a couple of two yarders.
You're right.
They threw it to Jefferson, and then they threw it to Cook. They ran it.
Madison.
Yeah. Yeah. That drove them down to the 2 minute warning. Kill the clock. Play defense. Let's go. Zimmer football.
Were they trying to run out the clock and tie the game? Like, it's not like they're going for the winning. I understand if you're tied, maybe do that, but you're down. You got to score. Like,
yeah.
What are you doing? Why are you running the clock out?
Well, here's an interesting stat that I found, and I'll go to the next drive. So the Vikings are finally showing a sense of urgency on that drive. They get down to the Cleveland 32. They have eight seconds left. Common sense says, I mean, if I'm playing Madden, I'm going like, okay, I'm chucking this thing as far as I can, maybe a sideline route or whatever. But Kirk Cousins checks it down to Tyler Conklin.
Yep.
And Kirk said, you don't want to throw an interception in that way. And that just sums everything up. The Vikings just don't play to lose.
You're already losing. Why don't you want to play?
Yeah.
You're already losing.
They're not playing to lose, but they're losing. And so I looked it up. This is what I was getting at. From the 32-yard line where the Vikings were at, you know, Mike Zimmer said we wanted to get closer for a Hail Mary. From the 32 yards, or I got to think of how I'm saying this. I talk for a living. I'm so mad that I can't even put it into words. Entering this week, I looked it up on Stathead. There were 102 passes completed that went 32 yards or more.
Yeah.
After the checkdown, that was 170 passes of 25 yards or more this season. Wow. So, like, yeah, they're correct. But at the same time, we were setting up the Hail Mary. It's from not a Hail Mary. You could run a normal play. Like, a Hail Mary is like, we're on our own 30. Everybody run towards the end zone, and I'm going to chuck it as far as I can and see what happens. Yeah. Like, you could legit run a normal play. You could run like four verts or something and just chuck it into the end zone, which is what they did. Basically, they ran an actual play out of their playbook, but because Kirk Cousins is afraid to be sent to the electric chair for an interception,
he checks it down.
Yeah. They just don't play to win.
You gotta have that.
That is the problem.
That Brett
look at Kevin Stefanski was balls to the walls today. And it was just like, he was going for it on fourth down. It almost cost him the game, but
it didn't.
It certainly helped him.
I've heard this theory today from some people that maybe Kevin Stefanski was like, maybe he was a little nervous, and that's why some of his play calling was off. Do we think maybe Clint Kubiak and Kirk Cousins were a little nervous because Stefanski's in the building? Like, are they trying to impress him?
I would hope not.
Yeah, right?
Like, why? Like, an X or something?
I don't know.
That's what the kids say, right? Bay, they call each other Bay and
you never
stuff,
know with,
or is
like,
that, like, old?
Football guys about how they want to, like, impress somebody else. I don't know.
Zimmer sounded like Kevin Stefanski was like the stepchild or something. They're like, how is it like talking to him after the game and stuff? And he's like, I don't know.
He's a guy with
We're guys. Like, we're just, hey, man, what's up? Yeah, nice win. Okay,
yeah, and I felt like the play calling was good last week against the Seahawks. I felt like it was good against the Cardinals. Like, what happened? Like, here's the thing maybe that might have thrown it off. Should Dalvin Cook have played today? I know he re-injured himself, but it wasn't immediately. But
he didn't look explosive today.
No,
and like coming into the game on Wednesday, and Dalvin's obviously going to push to play. Zimmer's obviously going to push Dalvin to play because, I mean, you heard him leading up to that week. He's just like, well, Dalvin's a tough guy; he can tough it out. But his game, and he said this himself, is built off explosiveness.
Yep.
And if he's not 100%. He's not going to be explosive. And when you don't have that, you basically have Alexander Mattison. I know Mattison has some of the PFF metrics or whatever, but, I use PFF a lot. Mm-hmm. Like, don't get me wrong, but I think that with Cook, like, you have to have him explosive. That's why I think, like, they give him 30, 35 carries in a game, and it's like, why don't you split that up? Like, look what the Browns did. Yep. Like, Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb, they're basically the same back. They get about 18 to 20 touches a game, and they're fresh. They're explosive. Again, there's no reason that the Vikings can't do that with Madison and Cook. So it's just frustrating to see them run him out there. And I mean, Cook hurts his ankle, and then they run him out for the final play and like, go Dalvin, go. It's like,
I just feel like if they sat him for another week, and they had the whole week to prepare with Madison, like they did against the Seahawks, I feel like, then they would have had a better chance, maybe figure out a better game plan to then just be like, oh, Madison's in, so now we got to figure out, you know, what to do with him. Unlike last week, where I feel like they knew what they were going to do. They threw a lot of screens. They put him in good positions to gain a lot of yards. And today I felt like they're just like, well, just go do what Dalvin does. And he can't do that.
Well, and I also felt like every time they put Madison in the game, they ran it. Like,
oh, yeah.
I felt like that was why he was in the game, because they didn't want to give Dalvin another carry. So like, well, yeah, you just fill
and
up
the Browns
Dalvin.
Knew it.
Like, yeah, yeah.
Like,
and they
how many positive?
In, yeah, them.
Madison did not have many positive gains. He was stopped either at the line of scrimmage or behind it, I feel like, multiple times. Lastly, I feel like before we get to the positives, it's Anthony Barr. He's inactive again. Was this game number 4?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah. Probably should have gone on IR to at least make another roster spot. Don't know when he's going to be back. He's got a knee injury that no one really knows about. It's a tweak.
It's a super weird situation because
he's not coming back this year, right?
No way. Well, if Zimmer's coach, yeah, they'll find a way. I can't coach without Anthony Barr.
Well, you can't coach
without
him.
I need him. Like, he does all these things, and like he sets the run, he sets people up, he makes nice brownies after the game. Mm-hmm. Like, his mom brings orange wedges. You can't replace the orange wedges. Like, the Barr thing is weird to me because they get him up there in a press conference a couple weeks ago.
Right.
And he's just sitting there and he's just like, well, hurt my knee and I tried to come back. I would like to play. I would love to play. I would like it more than anything in the world. That was an exact quote.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not ready. But I'm close. I'm not ready. Like, it just seems like there is no urgency.
No.
Or that knee is just like Danielle Hunter. It's one of those things. They're going to go in there and go, yeah, dude, you should have had surgery a long time ago on this. And I mean, Nick Vigil is fine, but I mean, you look at the defense right now, there are so many missed tackles, and Anthony Barr is an elite tackler. Mm-hmm. He's great in coverage when he's not matched up against a wide receiver. And
run defense would probably be a lot better.
Absolutely. I think that that's a big reason why the Vikings are getting gashed on the ground. I don't know when he's going to be back. Nobody seems to know. I wouldn't be surprised if they sent him for an IR or MRI, like I said, and be like, yeah, you got to get that trim, man.
What, Michael Pierce is getting hurt in practice? What are you doing in practice where he hurt like his elbow and his shoulder? Like, what are you doing?
Ultimate Mike Zimmer football. That's what they're doing.
What are you doing?
Fights to the death.
It's a 17-game season. Why are we having like intense practices in week 4 where guys are, you know, getting hurt and they can't play?
Like, the thing with Zimmer is that when his back's to the wall, he just goes back to what he knows.
Yeah.
Like, it's never a, hey, what can I change to be successful? It's, this is Mike Zimmer football and I'm going to play Mike Zimmer football. And in this case, it was running Dalvin. It was, you know, I know that he's given it, like, he's adapted a little bit. He's given veterans days off. Mm-hmm. He's meeting with Kirk Cousins for 45 minutes,
exactly,
as they revealed.
Exactly.
Do you think, by the way, do you think he just has a freaking timer? Just like walks in the room like,
oh, time to go. Hey,
Kirk, let's get this over with. And like the whole time, like Kirk's like, what do you think about this cover two? And he's just looking over his shoulder, just like,
I only got 2 minutes. So I can't tell you.
You used to be in college. Teachers are talking and you're just staring at the clock the whole time. Like, how do we still have 10 minutes left? Oh my God. Like, I've been in classes like that.
But it's been great. It's been great for the both of them to interact in their fourth season together. That now they're starting to do this. Because both of them are like, we're going to lose our jobs, so we might as well figure something out.
I don't think this team is cohesive as they try to make themselves out to be.
Not when you got guys like Cam Dantzler going off last week on Twitter, being like, I'm not going to bite my tongue anymore and stuff like that.
I think there's a lot of exterior motives going on right now. I think, you know, it's not that I'm sure they all want to win. They all want to play hard and win for the team. But I feel like there's just something going on right now. Like Kirk and Zim are kind of butting heads. Mm-hmm. You got the bar thing. You got, you know,
I'm sure Hunter's
the Cameron Dantzler thing.
Yeah, I'm sure Hunter, you know, he's had a great year, but he's definitely going to be looking out for himself. He's in like sort of a contract year.
Like a couple years ago when the Vikings made that run, I think one of the thing was it was a team. Like they were bonding, and then all of a sudden Diggs has his falling out, mm-hmm. and like the cracks slowly started to be in there. And like now you're seeing it. Now you're seeing it seep onto the field. And I mean, nobody's gonna be happier to see Detroit than Mike Zimmer next week. Cause like or right. Kirk Cousins. Cousins has never lost to the Lions.
Right.
So I mean, they're probably I know I was kind of like, I don't know if it'll be a win. I think it'll be a win. But I mean, going to Carolina, you're just like, Carolina's not a pushover.
No, I think to go back to what we said earlier, I think it'll be a win too. But I'm just saying like, everyone's like, it's a guarantee. It's a guarantee win. And I'm just like,
no, nothing's a guarantee with this team right now.
It's not. Yeah.
They were guaranteed to beat Cincinnati.
Yeah, right.
And they didn't.
They're supposed to clock. By the way, Cincinnati doesn't look too terrible right now. 3-1. Also, can we give a little credit to the Browns defense? They got a very good defense.
They're awesome.
I thought they played terrible on offense, aside from the running backs. Baker Mayfield looks terrible.
Yeah.
And the defense kept them in the game.
I thought the Vikings should have signed Clowney, to be honest, this offseason. Because, I mean, ever since
they didn't have the money, though, good, did they?
But I don't know. They moved some around later.
Yeah, you can always have the money. You're right.
Rob Brzezinski and his...
he would have been better than Dalvin Tomlinson, I'll tell you that. Like, I would rather, have Armin Watson there because he's not going to cost them $15 million this year.
Or Sheldon Richardson, you know, calling timeout. Like, I don't think Armin Watts would call a timeout. And that's what Zimmer said after the game. He's like, nobody calls timeout but me. It's like, then why did that happen?
Right.
Like, I just, there's so many weird things going on with this team right now.
Hey,
something just feels off.
They're a great team. And they're not a 1-3 team. They're a great team. They can turn around. We both probably believe they can turn around. They do have the ability to turn around. But right now they're 1-3. So we got to stop acting like they're like, they could be 4-0. They could be 3-1. No, they're 1-3. Because I feel like that's the thing a lot of people are being like, oh, they could be they're two plays away from being 3-1.
So, and they're 10th in the draft order right now. So,
oh, boy.
I mean
in a year where you could trade Kirk Cousins next year, get an early round pick. I'm not going to say a first round pick right now. I don't know.
I'm not taking a quarterback in next year's draft. There's just a lot of...
Not with this regime?
No, well, A, not with this regime, and B, not with this class.
I'm looking at the top quarterbacks
right now. Matt Corral,
But then what Willis, do you do? What do Liberty. You do a quarterback? Kellen Mond?
You probably... Well, this is my prediction, and I wrote this about a year ago. Carson Wentz.
Oh, no. I don't want
Carson Wentz stopgap. No. I don't want it to happen, but I mean...
Rather get Teddy.
Is Teddy on a 1-year deal?
Yeah, he's a free agent next year.
Okay, come home.
So definitely rather him than. We also don't know how that relationship was. It seems like it's nice and everything. Well, obviously we know Zimmer is like in love with him. but definitely him over Carson Wentz, who likes to play on two broken ankles. But all right, real quick, we'll go over the positives. I'll just get to these quickly because we've had a lot of negatives to talk about because it was a bad loss. All right, real quick, positives. I got Justin Jefferson. The defense only allowing 14 points. So typically, you know, if you looked at the offense the last couple of weeks, if the defense gave up 14 points in those games, they would have won them. So that's what you want from your defense. The run defense was terrible. I think the pass defense was better this week. That was probably helped a lot by Baker Mayfield missing a lot of throws, which, boy, did he miss a lot of throws. I also have Cam Dantzler. I think he played well in place of Bashaud Breeland, who had an illness, quote-unquote. And what else? Oh, I put the home crowd in because they seem to be back and loud and rowdy. I think that's home field advantage is a thing again. And then I just put in Kevin Harlan because I just like listening to him on broadcast. Is he the Timberwolves guy?
He used to be the Timberwolves guy, like long, long time ago. Yeah, but now he's now he's TNT. He's a big timer.
He doesn't do any regional stuff anymore?
No. I think they had him on FSN, or excuse me, BSN.
Bally's.
Now. Bally's Sports Network. they had him on there. Gosh, it must have been a long time ago. But yeah, I remember as a kid. Yeah, like the gosh, I can't remember the name. The old Timberwolves logo, the wolf actually had a name. Hmm. I think it was like Marv the Wolf or something like that.
It was like hiding in the woods, like kind of.
No. This is the older logo.
Like,
yeah, the old
J.R. Ryder.
Yeah, J.R. Ryder, Doug West,
Tom
Richardson. Googs.
Was he on there too? Yeah, he was on there too, right?
I love me some Googs.
Dating myself. Awesome. I think I have like all these old basketball cards in my closet somewhere. Any positives from you today? I mean, Justin Jefferson is just, he keeps being ridiculous, but that's
my. I'm very glad he's on our team.
Oh, gosh.
Like, thank God the Eagles took Jalen Reagor, because could you imagine how bad this team would be? We'd have a new coach, I'd tell you that much, if it weren't for Justin Jefferson.
Yeah,
he's just good. And I mean, he's getting a little testy. Not testy. I mean, he was fine with the media.
He wants to win.
I mean, he joked a little bit too, because the Conklin penalty that wiped out a 30-yarder. He said, I saw the penalty and I understood it.
Yeah.
Like, I got it.
Oh, speaking of penalties, what was that holding call on Eric Kendricks? What did he do? Grab the guy's like tissue towel or something? Like, he barely touched him. Maybe we didn't see the whole thing, but from the replay that they showed where Kendricks had that holding penalty in the end zone that eventually resulted in the Browns getting a touchdown.
It looked like a little tug.
That was a huge penalty. And of course, you had, you know, Sheldon Richardson calling timeout on a extra point. Like, why do you even call timeout on an extra point anyways? What? Too many men on the field? Okay, they get closer, 5 yards. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Do you have anything else?
Positives.
The game ended?
You touched on most of them. Yeah, the game's over and we can look forward to next week.
Yeah,
I don't know, man. There's probably more positives. I mean, it just was a rough afternoon for the offense. The rush defense looked bad. I don't know. I mean, I felt like Baker Mayfield left a lot on the table. Yeah. And
I think Odell Beckham was getting so frustrated with him today. Like, where are you throwing the ball?
And the thing with Baker right now is he actually has a shoulder injury in his non-throwing shoulder.
Yeah.
And they from what I was listening to, you know, that could throw you off just a little bit, even though it's your non-throwing shoulder. And like, if you're a little bit off, like, it's a big deal in the NFL. Mm-hmm. So
those throws weren't even close. Like, he was way off.
No.
There were a lot of them were way off.
It was all rough. Right.
We can end it there. Where can people follow you on Twitter, Chris?
I am at The Real Krishad.
And you're still doing the Homer Horn podcast, right?
Yes. Took a little bit of a break this week.
Yeah.
Just kind of focused on my writing, but
hoping
to get some guests this week. So watch out for that. And that show Twitter handle is at The Homer Horn.
There we go.
So check that out.
Yep. We'll check that out on Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcast. Check this show out. The Viking Age podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. But until next time, we will talk to you later.